So, well, so my example, you know, that smiling, so I learned that eventually the strategy. So I, rather than me getting annoyed and frustrated at whatever they did, so obviously not in that situation now generally, if they smiled at me now, I'd say, okay, I think you need to go over there and count to 10 just to calm down. It's for me to calm down, but the strategy there that helped me go, okay, they're not doing it on purpose, etc. So I want you to think about now, choose one of the things you talked about, do they individually or collectively, what do you do when you're the best, or what might you do so you don't end up reacting to it? Okay, because what we can do, just before you do that, if you look at the screen just briefly, is that the risk is sometimes they do what they do to get our attention. Yeah, and it's really tricky, isn't it, this? Because those who get louder, those who complain the most, it, you know, sometimes they're doing that because they know they'll get seen. Right, we're going to look at the flip side of this now. We're going to look at the flip side of this now. There's a space just below where you have, if you want to write things down, obviously only use that if you want to, on the screen. Now, what happens that maybe pushes their buttons on occasions, all right? What do we do or can we do about that? So what is it that we maybe do that pushes the buttons of patients or patients' families that we might be able to, we do or might be able to do something about? So think about what pushes their buttons, and then think about how do we respond to those button presses for them. So again, in your groups, have a conversation around that. Staying on this, but just moving slightly, who in this room on occasions displays challenging behaviour? We all do. We all do. On occasions, it could be not putting the toilet roll on the right way round, it could be not putting the milk, whatever it is, alright? So we all on occasions, in the eye of the beholder, we might not think it, they should be challenged by it, but they are. So, but the risk, the difference here is, we talk about clear and transparent languages. I'm hoping, presuming, not many of you display hazardous behaviour. Alright, when our behaviour presents a hazard, that's when things change, and a risk to them, to us, to other people. Yeah, and the reason we differentiate that is just to be really clear in terms of how proportionate our response is. Again, it sounds like common sense. I'll tell you a very, very brief story. Years ago when I was at school, so it was years ago, music teacher, we didn't really like, wasn't very good at, in my humble opinion as a 14-year-old, wasn't very good at teaching in that size moment. So what did we do to wind him up? Click the buttons on the pen. We knew it was driving berserk. You know, and it was different times then. I'm not saying they were better by any stretch of imagination, but he'd finally lose the plot and grab hold of someone and move them out. So he used a physical intervention when it wasn't a hazardous behaviour. Yeah, and that's the risk, is that they press our buttons so effectively, it annoys me, frustrates me so much that people end up, because they've run out of strategies to keep calm, that they end up doing something that isn't proportionate around that. So it's always about separating these two things, you know, because as I said, we all display challenging behaviour on occasion, but most of us thankfully don't display hazardous behaviour. Is there a hazard? Is there a chance of harm and risk around this?
Is there one you can throw in there about the not my job mentality?
Could be, absolutely could be, couldn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's that bit, is that, you know, walking past things as opposed to how might I help? I can't solve it, sort of thing, but doing something around all of that is important. Right, this was mentioned before, alright? What we want to try and do a bit more, and some of us do this very well, some not so well, is look at the feelings. Our natural thing is we see, observe the behaviour, don't we? Yeah, what they say, do, etc., how it makes us feel in that situation. Alright? Rarely is it driven by a desire to hurt just us. It might be to hurt people, unfortunately, driven by whatever is driving them to be violent and aggressive in that precise moment. As soon as we blame them, as soon as we take it personally, we're less likely to act in a considered way. Yeah, and again, it's not accepting that behaviour, but understanding it. So we might hear things like, you need to take these medications now, you need to have a shower now. Alright, I'm sure, I presume you haven't. Stop worrying that if you stay in hospital, you may lose your job now. Stop being scared that you're feeling so unwell now. Feelings are often, not always 100%, but often are triggers of why we behave in the way we do. And again, it's about if we understand, you mentioned that before, if we understand what's triggering the behaviour, we can be a bit more considered, more likely to be a bit more, as opposed to blaming them, it's just because they're that person, or it's just because they're so-and-so. Yeah, it gives a bit more considered view around it. See, we share a couple of models. We share one now and one after lunch sort of thing. It's what we call a conflict spiral. I'm just going to take you through it and then give you an opportunity to think, you know, what might be the implications. Unless you try to think, okay, what might we do different? What might we change the constants? Because if we keep doing the same things, we're going to get the same outcomes. Or likely to. Yeah, it's potluck if we don't. So, experiences can influence and change feelings. Yeah. And I'll talk, just do it generally, and I'll talk about it from a patient perspective, and I'll talk about it from a staff perspective. Alright, so I'm going to refer to Max. Alright, so I'm Max, the patient who's been in hospital before. Alright, last time I was in, it didn't go very well. Why? But it didn't go very well. So now I'm going back into hospital. My previous experience influenced, I'm not feeling great. A, not very well, but B, the experience wasn't great. How I then behave is influenced by how I'm feeling. Then, and it will depend, staff react to my behaviour. Now, if we react in the right way, it doesn't end up in conflict, but if we react in the wrong way, the chances are it potentially leads to conflict. Right, flip of that, could be a staff member. I suddenly say I've got Max on my patient list. Alright, and there's a good challenge here about language in terms of, and again, it's how we reference things, isn't it? So even just using the phrase, and I know it's quite commonly used, it's used in education as well, frequent flyer can trigger certain things, doesn't it? So when I say the word frequent flyer, what does that, don't say the person's name, but it might think of particular people. And are they, I guess I'll throw out there, just because are they positive thoughts about that person? Or are they, they're more actually negative, aren't they, unfortunately? Mm-hmm. And it's good to think about what we say, how we say it, and the implications. Because what that done, I go, oh no, you know, oh, you've got the frequent flyer Max. I'm already thinking that didn't go well last time Max came in. You know, so that then my feelings are influenced how I behave to Max. And then he potentially reacts, or she potentially reacts, well, will react to my behaviour. And if I haven't been positive and said, great, sorry you're here again, Max, but lovely to see you. As opposed to, oh, not you again, you know, you're not going to, don't do what you did last time. And that's the temptation. Don't you swear at me, don't you? We don't want to do that, understandably, but we sort of potentially trigger a reaction that can potentially lead to conflict. Yeah, so you see how it can play out as a patient, you can see how it can play out as a staff member. Now that's potentially useful to a degree, but what I want you to do is think about, and whether it's particular situations or generally, what do we know and what can we do to change or influence things differently? Yeah, and it won't be able to do all of those things, probably, but what might we be able to do for Max? Your version of Max, or what might I be able to do for myself? So I think, okay, next time, because it probably is going to be next time in Max, what am I going to do differently? If I keep doing the same things, I'm quite likely to get the same outcomes. And if they're not good, surely we want to change that. Yeah, and sometimes that's what can I do internally, that, you know, self-talk about this, understanding, okay, what is it? What's, you know, maybe causing some of those things that I really struggle with? For me, for Max, or what can I do to influence? As I say, that positive welcome of someone we struggle with influences it. Doesn't mean they'll suddenly be wonderful and do everything we want them to be and suddenly be our best friend, but it'll influence it. Imagine, yeah, all right, sorry you're back in, but all right, great to see you again. How do we make this work? How do we move forward on this? As opposed to, oh, don't you do what you did last, you know, and being deliberately sort of, you know, polar opposites there, but you can see how it plays out. It might not be what we say, it's how we're looking, how we're standing with that person. Well, it will influence their behaviour. Alright, so have a chat, twos, threes, whatever makes sense. Think about this, and, you know, either about particular patients or situations or generally, how that can disrupt in a positive way conflict keep arising. And it could be with a staff member, colleague. Shift didn't go well, you know, and we go in and it doesn't go well again, and we haven't changed anything. As much as it's their fault, not our fault, of course. Alright, what can we do that might influence a better outcome? Alright, I'll be quiet now for a few minutes. You have a conversation with relevant people, person. I think it was Einstein who said, if we keep doing the same thing and expect different results, it's the first sign of insanity or something like that, isn't it? So this is, okay, what can I do differently that might influence a better outcome? Yeah, and it's just that, what do I know, what can I change? You know, it can be a helpful question. And they all influence each other, all right? It's not linear. We often like to think things are linear, but they all intersperse and intermix with each other around that. But what do I know, what can I change? Final sort of bit we're going to do before we break for lunch is about all behaviour meets need has a function, all right? I'm always conscious of the word all, but the vast majority, let's put it that way. All right. So we do what's in it for me. So we do what we do to either, at its simplest form, the target behaviour, and it starts off simple, then you can see why it's as complex as it is, human behaviour. So why do I do something? It's generally either to obtain or get something, or to escape or avoid something. Right, that's the function of behaviour. In its simplest form, it's, I want this, or I want more of this, or I want less of this, or I don't want this. Okay, so it starts off very simple, but then you start to see all the lines, it gets a bit more complicated. That could be a stimulation, a sensory need. It could be smoking, it could be the feel of the bedclothes, it could be the feeling of the gown or not, etc. that might influence that. It might be a social interaction that I want more of or less of. In terms of I want my own room rather than I want to be in this space with all these other people. Or it could be a particular, a tangible activity. But I always watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. No, I don't. But on a Tuesday or whenever it's on. Okay? Or I don't want to watch that and whatever else it is. And that, then we introduce humans into it. And this plays out minute by minute, doesn't it? Shifts and change minute by minute. So that's why it is important. This is the challenge to us. Because it can give us a clue. If we can start to have our best attempt at working out what it might be, then we can start to think about, all right, once we know that, then we might be able to think of, it sounds teach, sounds very education world, but isn't it? What might be something else that we can offer them in this environment that will not be perfect, but will be a similar meet their function of what they're doing. All right, so how do we offer something similar so they still have a need met? It won't be perfect because that's, you know, often not possible, generally not possible. But what might there be something else we can do that will still help them meet the function, the function of the behaviour? Right, 2-minute conversation, again, just at your table, thoughts, reflections on this.